Welcome back to State of the News. I'm Rick Howlett. This week, the Kentucky Supreme Court heard arguments in a case challenging the legality of instant racing. That's the game approved for use at Kentucky horse tracks. The critics say it's just a thinly disguised casino game. And here to talk about the instant racing and the case is Kenny Colston from the Kentucky Public Radio Capital Bureau. Kenny, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick.
Just for those who don't know, and just to review, exactly what is the instant racing game?
Instant racing is kind of a half slots, half horse racing betting game, depending on who you ask will tell you what it's more like. Basically, it looks like a slot machine. It even has, I think, like the three spinning wheels on it. But at the same time, what people do is you sit down, you put in your quarter. What you're actually betting on is a historical race. I mean, you could be betting on Secretariat in the Derby. The thing is that it doesn't say horse number five is Secretariat. It says just horse number five. It gives you odds, what the horse odds are. It tells you some historical information about the horses. And then once you pick your horse, you see the last 3 seconds of that race on a small little screen in the corner. Basically shows you who wins the race. And if you win, obviously, the money goes to a pool, kind of like pari-mutuel betting, like at the horse race. It all goes into a pool. The thing is, Rick, if me and you were sitting next to each other at these terminals, you would be betting on a completely different race than I'm betting on. And opponents say that that's not necessarily horse, you know, how you bet on horse races, where if we bet on the same, you know, where you bet on the same race, whether I put a $2 win bet down and you put a $2 show bet down, technically we're all still betting into this on the same race, into the same pools. And so there was a lot of arguments at the Court of Appeals level about the game and about that process this week.
Now, this game was not approved by the legislature, but by the Horse Racing Commission, right?
That's exactly right. As we all know, the legislature has had a really tough time passing any sort of expanded gambling outside of what Kentucky currently has, which is horse racing and the lottery. And so this did not, the Horse Racing Commission approved this. You know, the Attorney General has ruled on the game, basically saying that it's not pari-mutuel betting. So what happened was, is because the Horse Racing Commission approved it, a bunch of the racetracks in the commission went ahead and filed a lawsuit in Franklin Circuit Court where no one was challenging them. And what they're saying is that there's a precedent that if there's certain controversy over an action, and they say there's controversy over this action, groups can challenge, and they don't have to have kind of an aggressive party against them. Well, the Family Foundation didn't buy that, intervened in the case, but wasn't allowed to ask questions, do any type of discovery or evidentiary hearings. And so basically Franklin Circuit Court ruled that the game was allowed under the same rules that horse racing betting is allowed, and the Family Foundation has appealed that to the Court of Appeals. Three-judge panel heard the case middle of this week, and they say they hope to rule within 6 weeks.
So where's instant racing being used at this point?
It's being used in two places in western Kentucky. At Kentucky Downs, which is basically in Franklin, Kentucky, near the Tennessee line. And the other place is Ellis Park in Henderson. The thing is though, that Ellis Park hasn't installed their terminals yet. Franklin, Kentucky Downs waited until after the circuit court ruling to install their terminals. But once that ruling came down, they installed theirs. They've actually been seeing a lot of profit from it. I mean, we're talking millions of dollars. It's been very helpful for that small racetrack. Ellis Park, of course, is in danger as well when it comes to finances. They've approved it, but I think they're waiting to see what the Court of Appeals does before they institute their terminals, because they don't want to spend the money and have the Court of Appeals rule that the terminals are illegal, that they're not allowed under the same rules as horse betting. And then, you know, of course, Ellis Park may have spent that money for no reason at all. It would put them at an even more financial disadvantage until they wait for that challenge to be ruled on in the Kentucky Supreme Court, where it's probably most definitely headed no matter what happens in the Court of Appeals.
So when can we expect a decision?
They said between 4 and 6 weeks. You know, it was a 3-judge panel, and you know, it was kind of interesting. It was a more than an hour long hearing, which is uncommon. Usually, these hearings go for an hour, and everyone's kicked out of the courtroom. But this one went longer than that. It seemed like it could go all day if the justices would have let it. And, you know, it's some interesting comments. I mean, some of the justices kind of seemed like they didn't believe that it was really live horse racing, as the Franklin Circuit Court said it was, because it's a video. A few acted like they didn't believe it was legal under current statutes. Others questioned, you know, how things went along at the Franklin Circuit Court, the Family Foundation basically being shut out of asking any questions or doing any motions. But at the same time, there was a reluctance on the other side that, you know, maybe the game is legal, but certain aspects, like the state of Kentucky taxes the game as if they would, you know, horse racing, the tracks. Well, is the maybe the tax isn't legal, but the game is. There's a million questions. It'll be very interesting to see what the Court of Appeals does. But somewhere between a month to 6 weeks is when we can expect them to rule.
Yeah, I should clarify. I said the Supreme Court earlier, but it is the Court of Appeals. Hasn't reached the Supreme Court yet.
That's right.
Let's move on to another topic. You reported about a possible super PAC influence in that 4th District Congressional race.
That's right. It's called the Americans for Growth, Opportunity, and Prosperity, or AmeriGOP. And basically, this group is being funded by one to two wealthy Northern Kentucky businessmen. The PAC has come out firmly and said that they're going to support Thomas Massey in the 4th Congressional race. A district race, and a lot of people, a lot of the other candidates inside the race and a few observers outside the race are kind of scratching their head because certainly to this point, neither Massey nor the Super PAC have done anything illegal. There's been no complaints filed, but a lot of people are saying, you know, some of the actions just don't line up correctly. Massey spoke at the home of the chief fundraiser of this PAC, a man named Richard Knock. You know, of course, Massey read a disclaimer that he was not there to raise money for the PAC, which is technically legal in this post-Citizens United world. But a lot of, you know, even Republican candidates in the race are saying, you know, this just does not smell right, the relationship between Knock and Massey and the Super PAC.
Massey, it's M-A-S-S-I-E, right? This is not the Massey of coal company fame, correct?
That's right.
So no complaints have been filed. In this. So what can we expect anything to happen?
You know, it's tricky because with the Citizens United ruling, there's a lot of loopholes when it comes to super PACs and candidates. It's not illegal for a super PAC to have a candidate at a function. President Obama has said he's going to do it. Mitt Romney has done it before, but there's certain rules. They either have to raise in a limited amount or they can't raise funds at all. And so we'll have to see. I mean, if more information comes out about the relationship between Knock and Massey and the Super PAC, along the lines of what we reported earlier this week, you know, you could see a report filed. But the one thing that candidates don't want to do is file a false complaint because that's illegal.
Right.
Or two, make a statement that says ex-candidate coordinated, because then they could be slapped with a lawsuit, and that just gets messy. And the second thing is the way that most government agencies work, even if one of the other candidates were to file a complaint with the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, there's probably little chance that that case would be solved before the May 22nd primary. So what good does it do is the kind of the question they have.
And finally, before we let you go, there have been some indications that this audit of former Ag Commissioner Richie Farmer is wrapping up.
Yes, that's right. Monday, the office, auditor's office, Adam Edelin, will be releasing this audit. Republican Agriculture Commissioner James Comer, who asked for the audit, will be there as well. Based on the news stories to date, you wouldn't think that this news is going to be good for former Agriculture Commissioner Richie Farmer. And you're talking about paying for hotel rooms. You're talking about, you know, apparently some rifles from a conference, this lavish conference that the department spent a lot of money on in Lexington when it said it didn't have any money. I just see no way, no how that any good news is going to come out of this for Richie Farmer on Monday.
Kenny Colston is the Capital Bureau Chief for Kentucky Public Radio. Kenny, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.